Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy, and you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Too Scary, Didn't Watch, the horror movie recap podcast for those too scared to watch for themselves. I'm Emily, and maybe I'm not too scared anymore.
Yeah, change for the week.
Yeah.
I'm Henley, and I'm still very scared.
Okay.
I'm Sammy, and I'm usually brave, but subbing for scared today.
Subbing in for scared. Did anything scary happen to us this week?
I guess one scary thing was that we went to the Magic Castle.
Yeah.
And there was a magician there who was like, it looked like he was like 17 years old, and I realized that I feel like an old person.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to say my scary thing is that I was attracted to him.
Yeah.
I was attracted to a 23-year-old magician.
Yeah, he was 23.
Which is scary. But, you know, I Henley was hit with this. I really wanted to show him the world.
Yes, the worldly woman.
Yes, and I've not yet had that desire, and I was like, oh, this is, look at this for me, this is fun. And is this too much to say in a podcast that all of our parents listen to? Well, I said it, and it really did scare me. It scared me, but maybe a new facet of my personality.
Also, I think my parents and my fiance's parents have stopped listening, so.
Oh, great.
Don't worry about it.
Those are who I was most worried about. I was worried about your parents and Tim's parents hearing that from me. Thank God.
Guys, I had a very scary thing happen.
Oh my
God.
Sammy,
what happened?
I got like incredibly high on Friday, like medically dangerous high. Like I was like, should I call 911?
Oh no.
I don't smoke pot. I don't usually get high. So my mother actually gave me edibles that her previous tenant had left behind. She's going to be so mad when she hears this because she feels really bad. But I like didn't know how much was normal to eat.
Yeah.
And in my research after the fact, found out that like a good starting dose would be like 5 milligrams.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. How much did
you
eat?
I ate 25 milligrams.
Whoa, Sammy.
And I was truly like on a different planet. It was wild. I have never been so high. And I like kept kind of like forgetting what life was. And I just had to like remind myself, like, you just ate way too much weed edibles. You're not dying. And I like was able to Google, can you die from weed? And you can't. So, and I did it.
Oh my God.
That
25 milligrams.
Realizing that you are way too high. I also don't smoke very much, but I've had a couple times where I'm like, oh no,
it was so terrifying. And it happened in one instant. I was like watching a YouTube video.
Oh no.
And then all of a sudden I was like, oh no.
That is exactly what my body does.
Things have changed for me. And I was actually trying to watch Love Island at one point in it, and it like got to a point where I couldn't understand anything that anybody was saying.
Yeah.
Like I stopped being able to like understand humans.
Were you by yourself?
Yeah, thank God. I think if I had been with anyone, they would have like called 911.
The first time I ever got high, I got similarly was like, not happening, it's not happening, it's not happening. And then like as court you get really high. Also, this was like 3 years ago. And I got so scared and I started crying.
Yeah.
Because I really thought it was it for me.
Yeah, I mean, it was really quite scary, but I was really trying to just meditate through it. I was
I'm
like,
proud
it's going to be
that's hard.
Okay. It's going to be okay. And it was. It just felt, it was so weird. It was so crazy.
Oh,
it was really
no.
scary.
That's yeah, that
very
really
scary.
Is scary. That really is scary.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you, well, so that's a good segue into you get a break this week. You're
yes.
not our scary movie watcher.
Yes.
I am, you guys. It's me.
She's so brave.
I'm so brave. I did volunteer to do this week's because it felt like a not super scary one in terms of what we normally do. I still thought it was scary and very, very good. This week's movie is Alien.
Woo.
Came out in 1979, directed by Ridley Scott, written by Dan O'Bannon, which is a funny name.
That's a fun name.
It's a fun name. It is starring Sigourney Weaver, Tom Skerritt, Veronica Cartwright, Yaphet Kotto, Harry Dean Stanton, and Ian Holm. I'm so nervous to be in charge of this. I'm feeling myself like, am I doing what Sammy does? Am I doing
it right? You're doing great.
Thank you so much. This is normally what Sammy does. She says who's in it. It's very good. What happens now?
Oh, well.
We introduce our guest.
Yes. Today, we are very lucky to be blessed with the presence of Rex Ogle.
Hi.
Woo! So happy for you to be here. He is the author of Free Lunch, which just came out. Everyone go take a look. It's currently one of the top 100 books on Amazon. So
thank you.
Amazing. Ooh,
hi, Rex.
Hi.
Did anything scary happen to you this week?
I thought about my taxes.
Oh no.
Yeah. But you know, I think you win. That's what you went through.
And it is a competition.
You definitely win, which I would hate to win this competition.
Yeah, it's not a good one. It's not a good one.
I definitely had an extra scary week, but taxes are also very scary.
Right around the corner.
Right around the corner.
Can you even believe it?
Do you have an accountant that you work with?
Yeah. I have someone in New York who I've worked with for like 10 years, maybe 12 years. I can't do it. Math is awful to
it's
me
tough.
And government math is makes me cry.
They try to make it too hard.
Oh yeah. They definitely do. That's
they're
on
trying
purpose
to trick you.
That's
yeah
on purpose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they can squeeze more money out of you.
Ugh.
We're libertarians on this podcast. Well, I would love to get a reference for your accountant because I'm looking for one.
Yeah, okay. I would love to know.
Listeners, write in.
particularly if you're LA local, we would love to
I need
know
help as a freelancer.
Use. Yeah,
yes.
Mine are very hard.
Yes, mm-hmm. I'm in an entertainment sphere, independent contractor. Mm-hmm. Help me mm-hmm out.
So Rex, do you like scary movies generally?
Love. So I should preface this by I was born in Abilene, Texas, but my dad was in the military, so we moved to Okinawa and Guam when I was a little kid.
Wow.
And I guess we never had a TV and there was no movie theater. So we came back to the States when I was 4.5 or 5. And my uncle's like, you've never seen a movie. I'll take you to a movie. And he took me to see Night of the Living Dead.
Oh, no.
So you were 4.5?
My first theatrical media experience was of the black and white original version with zombies.
Oh, wow.
Trying
it's very
to kill,
scary, right?
It's terrifying.
I've never seen it.
I've never seen it either.
So zombies are like kryptonite to me. But anything
right
else? Bring it on.
Oh,
I'm not scared of anything.
Do you have like a favorite genre of horror movie, like psychological thriller, gore?
You know, I'm not a fan of gore. Like, I don't like Saw.
Nobody
I don't like,
is.
I
nobody
don't like
is
torture
I'm waiting,
porn.
I'm waiting for the person who
really
says they like torture
I
porn.
I really like, I don't know if it's like art house porn, like something between mm-hmm It Follows, which is just mm-hmm so well done, mm-hmm, and Cabin in the Woods, because it makes me laugh and is uh-huh also
yeah
so well done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I do love all things. And the reason I chose Alien is because it's not a typical scary movie, but it is. It's
yeah
a horror
right
movie.
It is. And the mood is so scary.
Yes.
Like we were talking about, like just the idea of being in space is scary on its own.
Yeah.
Space is really scary.
Space yeah is terrifying.
Yeah.
That's enough.
What's the scariest movie you've ever seen? Is it
Night of the Living Dead?
Yeah, nothing can top that experience.
Nope. That checks out.
Nope. Yeah,
checks
man,
out
at 4.5.
That is really tough.
Yeah. So when Walking Dead and stuff came out, were you like,
hell no.
Isn't that so interesting how much that can imprint on you? Like, you're like, you watch any other scary movie,
yeah,
but there's something about, you're like, I'm done. Nope, can't do that.
Yeah.
I'm
scarred. Emotionally scarred.
My
emotionally
mom forbid
scarred
me to watch the Nightmare on Elm Street and the Friday the 13th movie. So, of course, I went out and snuck into them when
of
I was
course
like 10 years old. Mm-hmm. And I was like, really? This is it?
This is no Night of the Living Dead, my friends.
Hello, everybody. It is time for Cocktail Hour. This week's cocktail is an alien secretion. Nasty name, but hopefully a pretty tasty drink. To make an alien secretion, you combine 2 ounces of vodka, 1/2 ounce of melon liqueur, 1/2 ounce of coconut rum liqueur, and 3 ounces of pineapple juice. Shake all ingredients with ice and strain into an ice-filled Collins glass. You will garnish with a pineapple wedge and a Luxardo maraschino cherry. Yum, yum, yum. But also, ew. Enjoy.
We should do trivia.
Let's do some trivia.
Let's do some trivia.
I just saw one that made me laugh, and it's that shredded condoms were used to create tendons of the beast's ferocious jaws.
Wow. That makes sense. I remember that.
Well, the designer of the alien, H.R. Geiger, is that his name?
Yep.
I was looking at some other of his art, and a lot of it is very phallic and very sexual. Which we'll get. There's some stuff.
Though. Yeah.
But so that sort of feels like he'd be like, yeah, that's my vibe.
Yes, I have tons of condoms. Lying
condoms.
Around.
You want condoms for the tenants? I got them. Let's shred them up.
If I'm not mistaken, I think he had a wife. Like, he fell in love with a woman, and she was his everything, and then she died.
Oh my!
So then all his art like went from being like super flowery daisies to being very sexual skeletal dead women.
That's fascinating.
Whoa! Yeah.
Well, that's an upsetting.
I think
reason.
He was like the Edgar Allan Poe of French art in the 80s.
Wow.
70s.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's cool to be the Edgar Allan Poe of something.
God, I hope this is true. This may not be true.
We don't fact check.
This is what I remember.
We love it.
Because in high school, my girlfriend was obsessed with Alien.
Oh,
obsessed,
cool.
Obsessed.
That counts as a fact on this podcast.
Yes, we take it as facts.
Yeah. We all really jumped in to be like, we don't care about facts.
No, you're in the right place. We don't care.
I have another one. The dead face hugger that Ash autopsies was made using fresh shellfish, 4 oysters, and a sheep kidney to recreate the internal organs.
Oh my God. It does look nasty. It looks like a real fucking nasty organism that they're cutting up. That makes perfect. That's honestly really cool.
It probably smelled terrible.
It probably did.
Yeah.
Ew, yeah, I bet it smelled so bad.
Ew.
Oh, gross. I hate it. I hate it now.
I've seen interviews with the cast, and they used... Actually, they went down to like the meat butcher shop to get the blood.
Oh my God.
That the whole room just stank. Like when they walked in, and the actors didn't know what to expect in that scene. So they walked in, and then Veronica Cartwright ends up getting covered in blood. And she was like, what was that? And so her screams were real.
Actors' rights. I don't agree with them doing that.
But they got a great performance out of her.
And
you
it
know?
Does look fucking great. But,
fucking cool.
I don't know if that's worth it. I don't stand by that.
Emily,
choice.
Were you scared watching this movie?
Yes, I really was. Also, this isn't a trivia, but I'm going to say it. Sigourney Weaver is really hot in this movie.
Oh, she's so hot.
She is so hot. And I just looked up. She was 30 when they made it. I thought she looked super, super young. She like looks so... I don't know, childlike.
Angelic.
Yeah, it's like a little freckly, and she looks so young. She's very hot. I was scared, but I was pleased. I will say there aren't really jump scares. A thing that I like a lot about this movie, and that made it easier for me to watch, is they're not trying to surprise you with what's coming. You know what's coming, and that is very scary. You see it before it happens, and you're like, no, and it's great because you're not like, I don't like feeling like something's gonna like come out and get me, but just like watching it, you can't look away.
And in typical horror form, you see people about to do something they should not do, and you're thinking, what are you doing? Stop. Don't do that.
So should we watch the trailer now?
Huge dummies.
Let's watch the trailer.
I'm excited.
Okay.
In space, no one can hear you scream.
Oh, fuck yeah. Ooh. Oh, fuck. That was cool.
Guys, some trivia about me. That's my favorite trailer of all time. As someone who used to work in the trailer industry.
That's a big deal.
That was a big deal. I think even at the time, I feel like there weren't trailers like that.
That trailer's amazing.
Yeah, it's a great trailer. No dialogue in it. So when you're listening via the podcast, it's not going to have quite the same effect. But
the sound is great.
Yeah, watch it.
And it feels like the movie.
Yeah.
It's slow and building. And then it's like, bah! Everything's happening and it's crazy. In space, no one can hear you scream. What a great
fucking tagline.
Oh my God.
Space is scary.
Space is really scary. Oh my God. Should we? Oh my God. Are we going to do it?
Let's do
it. I get to tell. I am doing this job. Okay. Let's just. We'll actually quickly start with just the character names, which it did take me. I should have just looked it up, but I didn't. And my notes were like. I left like blanks to like fill the names because they don't tell it. They don't
they all have one name, even in the credits. It's and one I think name. It's their last names. Maybe yeah, we don't know.
They're
don't
space
know.
Crew names.
And they don't like, I feel like a lot of times at the top of a movie, they're like, you know, hey, Rex, could you grab that for me, Rex? Thanks, mm-hmm. Rex. And it's like, cool, that's Rex. Yeah. But they don't really do that in this one. So I was like, I don't know who these people are.
Yeah.
But here are their names. Ash, Kane, Dallas, Lambert, Parker, Brett, Ripley. Ripley is Sigourney Weaver. And the rest, just fucking, you'll figure it out as we go. They're all on a spaceship.
Mm-hmm. And Jonesy
meow. The cat.
Oh, that's the cat.
Jonesy, the cat.
If you guys could focus on the cat plot,
honestly,
I
would love that.
It's important.
Yeah.
The cat really leads to some stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Fact.
I mean, I only assumed as much.
Fact.
So how does it start out? What's the first thing that happens?
So it starts out very much like Star Wars did with mm-hmm. a giant spaceship floating into the shot. And it's mm-hmm. gorgeous. It's a long shot. It's a slow shot. Some people have said it's a little 2001 Space Odyssey, but I haven't seen that. So
it's
I don't
okay,
know if that's
honestly,
true.
It's okay.
I heard it's slow.
It sounds right.
Slow, yeah.
But so it's an opening shot. And it just, then it goes from the outside of the ship, it goes inside the ship, and then it's like kind of mm-hmm. giving you, and all of the shots are big and wide and open. Mm. So, and that's important for my storytelling, even though I'm a rambler. So big, wide shots, you're going down the halls.
There's like empty
you know.
Spaceship.
Yes. And so it's like silent, but then there's like little bird things like
mm-hmm, trippy.
Yeah. I can't remember what they're called. Anyways.
I don't know.
And then finally you get to this pod room mm-hmm. and it's five pods.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, seven. There are seven people. And the pods open as the lights come on
mm-hmm.
and you meet your crew as they're coming out of the deep sleep.
Oh.
Yeah. And what really, really shocked me, and I'm already realizing I'm going to be bad at this because the details that fascinate me are probably wrong ones. guy who we come to know as Kane is the first one to wake up. He was sleeping in that pod with his neck turned.
He's going to be sore.
Ow, can you imagine? I was like, what is he doing?
You're like, do they have a chiropractor on this show?
I sure hope so.
How many months do we feel like he's been sleeping? I don't know.
See, you notice his neck. Did you notice what he was wearing?
Little tiny shorts.
Well, it looks like a diaper almost. At first I was like,
it would make sense if it was a diaper. Do you poop in deep sleep?
I don't know. Because then they like shut themselves down though, right? Yeah. They're like essentially
maybe
putting
it's
themselves
just like
in comas.
In case of an accident.
Yeah. They've been asleep for 10 months or 20 months.
A long time.
Yeah.
That is a long time.
Oh, and
the
ship, if it matters, I don't know if it does, is called Nostromo.
Nostromo.
Okay. Nostromo yes. is the name of the ship.
Okay.
And so the thing to know about the ship is that what you get in the cast is like, you know, they wake up. They meet in like kind of the wreck hall?
Where, yeah,
the
like,
mess hall,
they go
where
and have
they're eating.
Yeah, a
they're,
meal.
They go to have a meal. And so they're all kind of like, you know, you're getting a vibe for the characters. You know, Ripley and Ash are the science officers.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Skerritt, whose name I can't remember, he's the leader.
That's Dallas.
Dallas is
Captain.
The leader. Veronica Cartwright, I think she is.
Lambert
mm-hmm. is the driver. I'm not going to know their names. I'm not going to remember their names.
It's okay.
Far.
I've got them written. Which ones?
Awesome.
Where are we going next?
And then,
we got Parker and Brett.
Yes. And then those two guys are...
like engineers or...
Basically, but at the end of the day, what you need to know is this is a blue-collar crew. Essentially, these are truck drivers.
Mm.
They it is their job to go to the other side of the universe, mine or pick up. They're not even mining it themselves. They're just picking it up and bringing it home. They're drivers.
Yeah. This, okay. We learned that this is a commercial ship.
Okay.
Yeah.
Has a year been given to us at all?
No.
No.
We don't know.
That's
okay.
The beautiful thing. We don't know.
We don't
could
know.
Happen at
but
any
we
time.
Do know that the route back was supposed to take 10 months. And so they've been sleeping. Like they go
so
there.
So they think
they're
like
pick it up.
Getting ready to be home.
Yes. They're mm-hmm. all excited. They're like, we're going to be at Earth. We're, you know, we're
they're
just entering
about
our solar
bonuses.
System.
They're like
yes.
not. They're, it's like
so
very
wait,
normal.
They've already gotten the stuff. Or no?
Yes. They have the ore and they're just coming back.
Okay.
They're waking up from their deep sleep.
Okay.
They think they're approaching Earth.
Damn. Mm-hmm. So that makes it even like shittier what's about to happen.
It does.
Yeah. It's like Event Horizon where they thought that was their last last trip.
Like, can you imagine like coming home from a work trip and being like, oh, I can't wait to sleep in my own bed.
So close to home.
And then they're like, oh yeah, we're still 10 months away from Earth.
Yeah, so they get a message from Mother, which is also very 2001 Space Odyssey, yes, to have like the it's just like the command system on the ship, I guess, who like gives them their messages and tells them what to do. They're Hal. Yeah. This episode means nothing if you haven't seen 2001 Space Odyssey. So Dallas, the captain, goes to this beautiful room. Again, the detail I wrote. Beautiful room where he talks to Mother, gets a message. So we learn then they were supposed to be about home. They get a transmission.
Yes.
From someone. Could be an SOS. They're not sure. And they have to go figure out what it is, which will take them off course, and they are not going home.
Yeah.
Got it. So are they, are they close to home right now?
No, they got woken up mid journey home.
Exactly. That's what I think it was supposed to be a 20 month journey home, and they only made it halfway. So they're still 10 months away from Earth.
In their minds, we're not getting woken up until we're home.
Right.
But they got this reroute. So they're like, oh, well, fuck.
Yes.
There's like a debate about whether or not they have to respond. And one guy's like, no, we're going home. We're done.
Yeah.
And they learn that contractually, if they receive any transmission from any other life, they have to go address it. That's why they have science officers on the ship, I guess.
Yeah. Right. And they're really pissed. I mean, again, these are blue collar workers. They thought they were going to be home.
Yeah.
And the upsetting thing is that, you know, not only if they don't go, they lose all their money. So all of this has been wasted.
They have to go.
They're really trapped.
Yeah. And Mother is like the communication system, but they work for the company.
The company.
And that comes up later. So that's why I'm doing air quotes. The company.
The company. They work for the company. Also, another thing I wrote, a dude is smoking on the spaceship. Which can't be good.
Oh.
He's smoking.
Yep. Cigarettes.
He's smoking
not
cigarettes.
Smoking hot.
I thought smoking hot. Me too. You're like, that should not be allowed in space.
Dallas is kind of hot.
Yeah, I think Dallas is hot. Dallas is hot. And Ripley.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Ripley, of course.
And we also see there's a cat there too. There's
Jonesy.
A cat. Jonesy.
Jonesy.
A little orange cat.
I'm nervous for the cat.
Yeah. So the weather is getting warmer. It's happening. Summer is upon us. I cannot wait. I am so ready. I already have some summer trips lined up. It is time to have a wardrobe refresh. It is time to out with the old, in with the new. Get yourself ready for all that you have coming up for the warmer, wonderful months ahead. But of course, you want to do that without spending a fortune. And that is why I am so excited to have found Quince. Quince has perfect summer staple pieces that you are going to need for all your summer travel, all your lounging around, backyard barbecues, picnics, you name it, they've got it. Like super comfortable breezy linen dresses, blouses, shorts, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to us. And here's the absolute best part. Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. That is huge. That is so important. I love to see it. I only ever want to support brands that are doing that. And it's not just clothes. Quince has, like I said, jewelry. They have shoes. They have accessories. But what I really, really love is they have travel accessories. My favorite thing is their leather travel jewelry case. Oh my gosh, it has all little compartments and little like hooks and loops for you to put in your earrings, places to put your necklaces. I am always just shoving my jewelry into like a Ziploc when I travel. It all gets tangled. It's a mess. This travel case is just absolutely perfect. And if you have summer travel coming up, just go ahead and make your life easier and get yourself one of these. Or they have packing cubes, suitcases. I mean, truly, you name it, they've got it. You have got to give it a try. Give it a look. I bet you're going to find something you love. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/too scary for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/too scary to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/too scary.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
They have to go
they have to go down to this planet. So they receive a transmission. They think it's an SOS, but they're not sure.
They're not sure.
So
they're
they have
sure
to go down.
They go, human?
Yep.
We don't know. They don't know.
Oh, boy.
Because they're like, well, that's ridiculous. It's obviously a human. Yeah. They don't think anything of it. But they detach it's not a large, because the ship, I think, is like the size of Manhattan, and they detach
like a little pod.
A mini ship, if you will.
A mini ship. And they go down to the surface. Yeah. And it is lots of clouds and it's very jarring, lots of shaky camera.
Yeah. And as they're landing on this planet, something goes wrong.
They got a whole breach.
They have to like put out a fire and electricity in it, and they won't be able to leave for 25 hours.
Yeah.
To get back to the big ship from the mini ship.
A lot can happen in 25 hours.
Mm-hmm. 25 hours is a long time.
Yeah. And so Parker and Brett, who are mechanics or whatever, they're the mechanics for the ship. They go to like check it out. Ripley goes down to see what's up.
Yep.
They're very rude to her. Guys, people are rude to her.
Oh, man.
The whole movie. They hate her.
Well, I do want to point out that the characters in the movie are not feminist, but I think when the script was written, they didn't have male or female roles in mind at all.
Interesting. So if they were women, they still would have been rude to her, like cast as women?
I'm guessing. but theory. That said, it was kind of a feminist movie to basically have two women on a 7-person crew.
And Ripley's a fucking badass.
Yeah. Total badass. We don't know that yet.
We don't know that yet.
Why are they mean to her?
We don't really know that yet either, but she's the science officer. She's like sort of the odd man out, it seems. She's a science officer, and then there is another science officer, Ash, and he is also a dick to her. We don't totally see that yet.
Because I was going to say maybe they're rude to her because they're like, you think you're smarter than us?
But there's probably part some of that.
Because again, blue-collar workers, and she's smarter than them. And she's third in command?
She's third in command, so she is above the other science officer.
Dallas, Ash, Ripley. So Ripley is third in command.
Mm-hmm. Dallas, Kane, Ripley, I thought.
Oh, maybe you're right.
She's third in command.
Yes.
But nobody really likes her. They're very rude to her. But they are stuck on this little planet for a little while. They got to go figure out what the transmission was. So they send out an exploratory group.
Yes. Of three people. Mm-hmm. And
two of which, as I watched, I left blank because I did not know their names, but I know them now.
Okay.
It's Lambert, Dallas, and Kane.
Yes.
Okay.
So these three go out. And they're on this weird planet. You know, they're in spacesuits.
It's like claustrophobic.
It's nighttime. There's like clouds. It's foggy.
They're talking about the weather's really bad.
The cameras are really bad. The camera receptions that's going back to the ship.
They have like GoPros essentially. Yeah. And Ash in the ship is watching them and communicating with them.
And he's like, what is that? And they look up and there is a massive spaceship.
That looks like two dicks. It does.
I was going to say a horseshoe.
It's a horseshoe of dicks.
It's a horseshoe of two dicks.
It really is. Yes. It's very, very phallic. Yes. Like, insanely phallic.
Well, my interest is piqued.
Were they not expecting an actual spaceship?
I think they were expecting something.
I don't know. Yeah, they didn't really know what they were expecting.
Part of it is that it doesn't look like a human spaceship.
I was going to say, it's not like any ship they've seen before.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Alien dicks.
Two bizarre dicks.
They're like, we got to go check out this dick ship.
Yep. In the meantime, Ripley is trying to decode the transmission.
Yes.
And work with Mother to figure out what it says.
Okay. Yes. So they go into the ship and it's very claustrophobic, and already like the scenes are getting smaller and smaller. They're in small hallways.
It's getting
creepier. It's darker. It's like, what's going on? And then they kind of enter a room it's a big room, but it has a pilot. But the thing about the pilot is he's pretty much a giant compared to them. He's probably like 20 feet tall.
It's like a control room of sorts.
But he's dead. He's sitting in the captain's chair. Mm-hmm. And as they're examining him, they're like, he's been dead for probably hundreds of years.
They say because that he's like fossilized.
He's fossilized. So 100 years, 1,000 years, we don't know.
They also say he looks exploded from the inside
of his chest. There's a hole in his chest. Oh. And so they're like, it looks like he exploded from the inside. And they're like, that's weird.
That's weird. Anyway, keep looking.
Yeah, let's keep looking.
And do they comment on the fact that he's massive? Is that just a visual thing?
Being massive, but maybe he is.
maybe in my mind, maybe it was the scales. I don't know. To me, he appeared really big.
My eyes were trying to like make, because it's also very dark in there. Yeah. And I was trying to make out like, what exactly are we seeing?
Maybe I'm being dramatic. Maybe he was 10 feet tall.
Well, just because I'm still big.
Just because I've seen like the like future movies, there are like big men in it later, right?
Exactly.
And like Prometheus and stuff. So that would make sense.
That they're big men. Great.
They're like god men.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Spoiler
alert for Prometheus. A movie we're not currently doing.
So they send one of the guys down into
this like cave situation. He like repels
down. Like, why are you doing that? That's a bad idea.
And in the meantime, right before that happens, after they find the dead guy, Ripley comes to Ash in the control watching them, and she's like, hey, I got Mother decoded part of the message. I don't think it's an SOS. I think it's a warning.
Oh, no.
It always is. Again, Event Horizon.
Why can't they just decode it before they arrive?
I don't know. It's hard in space.
They got to get close enough.
Yeah. And so.
I don't know. That's actually
she says to Ash, we learn, this is where we start to learn that Ripley's about Ash. She's like, I think I'm going to go in after them and let them know that it's a warning. Like, I think I'm going to go try to find him. Yep. And he is such a fucking dick. And he goes like, why? By the time you get there, they'll know if it's a warning or not. Like, what will that do?
Oh, boy.
So he's like very fine with them like getting killed if that happens. He's like, you can't do anything about it. And she's like, OK.
Yeah.
So Kane starts rappelling down this cave.
Kane rappels down into this cave. And now we get a full view of what is a corridor. But this corridor, now this is definitely giant.
It's giant.
Huge, massive. It's like the ship, the two-dick ship is hollow. And it's just like massive. But it almost looks like a rib cage. Like it's almost like the ship is alive.
It's very skeletal.
Very slimy. Yeah. And then he gets to the bottom of it. And again, he's kind of like standing on one of the ribs. So there's like an indention, like a little pit down the side. And there's... like a sensor, like lights, and it's like little mist.
Yeah, he says it's like the tropics down here.
Yeah. And then he slips and falls.
Like
You do. Right into the pit, which is filled with eggs.
Big eggs. They come up big to like eggs. About his thigh, probably. Yeah, like all these little eggs.
Like two, like 3 feet.
Two, three feet. Whatever laid those eggs is not going to like that.
No. And he's like, but he seems just like intrigued.
Not scared.
No, he's like wandering around. He like walks through.
Starts shining a light at the egg, at which point we see something moving inside of the egg.
Movement. It's like a little bit translucent. You can like
it's like a membrane.
Yeah, it's like little fish eggs. You know how you can see a little fish move in there?
Yeah, fish eggs. Got it.
Uh-huh.
And so they have like an attitude of like, ooh, we're like discovering something instead of like, uh-oh.
They're very much, he's like, oh, whoa, I see. Like, he's like very, he like calls up like, oh, look, but what, you know, they're like not scared at all.
But they, again, are not explorers.
And so these guys are not scientists.
Right. So I feel like that's not the reaction you would have, right? Like, I feel like you'd just be scared.
Yeah.
Like, unless you like signed up to go like find alien life, I'd be pretty scared to see alien life.
Yeah.
But we don't know what year it is.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe there has been... friendly aliens.
Spoiler alert for aliens. They don't really believe her that there was an alien there. So let's keep spoiling movies that we're not doing.
So at this point, we kind of get our first scare in the movie.
We get our first scare.
Which, not surprisingly, the egg opens.
Yeah, so he's like peering down. He sees like, ooh, there's some movement. And then it like opens like a cootie catcher. Like four little petals. Because
It's like a plus sign and then it goes.
Yeah, like opens up in the top. And he, even as he sees it open, he's like, oh, cool. And like looks over the top.
He bends over the egg.
And we see what's in there. And it's like this like pulsating. It like looks sort of like an organ. Like a big organ.
Like a couple oysters and some sheep bladders.
Exactly like a sheep bladder. Except. And some...
it almost is like a scorpion, and it's an arachnid because it has eight legs and a long tail. And the next thing it does is it jumps on his face and burns straight through his space mask.
So it jumps out like we know it's going to. This is kind of a jump scare, but also like fucking duh, you know?
Yeah. No, it's gonna
happen. He's like peering over, and it just lodges like almost like suction cup. To his helmet. That's what we see in this moment. Is it goes just like.
Goes
through.
My bad. I skipped ahead.
Spoiler ahead for the movie we are doing. we see that happen.
What are these things called? They have a cool name, right?
Well, they call these the face huggers.
Face huggers.
Yes.
Great name.
Cute. Honestly, cute.
Yeah.
No wonder you remembered that.
What is that? really cool name.
Okay. So did they hear him like screaming or whatever, and they know something has gone awry?
It pretty quickly cut. Like it's like they like know it's bad, but then we're like, we're done.
Back to Ripley.
Cut to Dallas and Lambert, the two who do not have the face hugger, are trying to enter the ship.
Yes. And Ripley is like, what's going on? She's like, are all three of you like, okay?
Where's Kane?
And they're like, he's hurt. Open the doors. And she's like, tell me what's going on. And everyone's like, open the door, Ripley. And she's like, no, you just went to an alien spaceship. Yeah, tell me what's going on. I'm not opening the door. Quarantine protocols.
They tell her like he has an organism on him, it might kill him, and she's like, okay, even more reason, like no,
right?
And they're like, it may kill him, and she's like, if I let you in the ship, it may kill all of us,
right?
She is smart.
Her and that crazy logic.
I know. Well, because that's when we learn she's the science officer. Uh-huh. And quarantine needs to be 24 hours, and he needs to stay in quarantine. Yeah. And the guy Dallas, who's the captain, they're like, open the door. But she is in charge.
Yes, because when Dallas is off the ship and the other person,
Dallas and Kane, one and two, are off the ship,
she's number three. She's in charge. And she's like, no, I'm in charge. Mm-hmm. You're not coming on this ship. And then the other science officer, Ash, is like, presses the button, lets them on.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
What a piece of shit.
Yeah, he is a piece of shit. We are learning pretty quickly.
So he just casually lets in an alien life force into there.
Well, they take him straight to the infirmary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this, I think, is where we see
it's burned through the face mask.
It has burned through his helmet.
Oh, God.
They cut his helmet off, and it's just completely attached over his... I'm doing it with my hand. This is a podcast. I can't do that. completely attached over his full face with the tail tentacle wrapped around his throat.
Yes. Is he dead or still alive?
Still alive.
He's alive. And it seems, because they're like, how did he survive out there if it burned through his mask? The thing has little gills and it's breathing for him.
So it's got like little
lungs.
What?
Because outside it's like... poisonous gases.
Right. And he can't talk at all.
It's covering his face.
They, like,
so
put
we can't,
in a coma, essentially.
We can't see his mouth, his nose, his eyes. It's all over his face.
Yeah.
He's not like in pain flopping around. He's out.
No. And they try to plier like one of the fingeries off, and and then the tentacle wraps tighter around his throat.
The tail tightens around his neck.
So they put him in an MRI machine.
They do an X-ray.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, it's got something going down his throat.
Mm.
Now, at this point, I would say it's kind of rapey. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but it is. I mean, this alien has jumped onto... Wait. Yeah. You're right. Negative way. It's jumped onto his face, and it's essentially... got something down its throat, which...
Right. Oh, that's so not gross.
It has penetrated his mouth.
It has penetrated him.
Yeah. And that they learn is how it's giving him oxygen. It went into his throat and is like keeping him alive, but putting him in a coma. And they're like, why would it be doing that? That makes no sense.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Can't be a good reason.
I have an idea.
So they decide to freeze him.
Well, first they try to cut... they're like, you know what? We just have to try to cut it off of him.
That's right. They use a little laser to cut one of the legs.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
They use the laser to cut through the legs.
Does it work?
No. Well, the blood comes out, and the blood burns through the floor.
Ooh, it's acid blood.
And it burns through multiple
layers. Because they're running down. Oh, because if it breaches
the hole,
it, you know, all their oxygen's going to fly out of this hole. So they're running down. And luckily for them, after three or four levels,
it stops. Okay, good.
Yeah, they're like managed to. So, but that's like, okay, so we literally can't kill this thing.
Yeah, there's nothing they can do.
Fuck, some good defense mechanisms there on that.
They could like electrocute it, maybe. What are some other ways to kill it?
Yeah, maybe
they're thinking about it.
Yeah,
they're thinking about it. And then this is when Ripley goes and it's cool because you think she like sort of confronts him, but she's like pretty badass about it, and she like goes to him and she's like, hey, so why'd you do that? What do we know about this organism? Like, what's the deal? And then she's like, and by the way, so I'm third in command in Dallas and Kane are off the ship, and you put all of our lives in jeopardy. And he's like, well, I guess I just sorry. Like he's like, I forgot. He's like such a dick.
Fuck that guy.
Also, he's Bilbo Baggins. Spoiler for another movie we're not doing.
Spoiler.
It's not a spoiler. It's just who he plays in the movie.
Casting spoiler.
Casting spoiler.
God, it's going to be hard for me to love Bilbo Baggins now.
That's all I could think about.
Doesn't Bilbo Baggins get a little bad in the end?
He is. You're right. He's got like a little bit of a like.
Why are you spoiling
Spoiler. God damn it. This podcast is full of spoilers.
Who could have seen all these spoilers coming?
We'll have to do a disclaimer in the beginning. This podcast is filled with spoilers.
Filled with them.
Okay, so now so they
at
put
that
them in
point,
quarantine.
They decide to freeze them.
They freeze them.
Well, they're going to.
They're going to. They decide, they're like, hey, let's see what happens if
back
we
in, like,
try
little,
to freeze it.
Back in like the pods that they were in the beginning type thing? Or just in a freezer?
Maybe in the infirmary.
It's in the infirmary
got, like,
freezer.
Yeah, so they go back to the infirmary to do that.
And they're like, oh, no. Ash calls them. While they're off, someone calls them because they're having an argument.
Yeah,
whatever. And he's like, y'all should come down and see this. They're like, what's happening? Just come down.
You should come see it.
Uh-oh.
So Dallas, Ripley, and Ash go into the infirmary. And Kane is laying there on the table. The facehugger is gone.
It's gone.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
It's not on him.
It's not on him.
Oh.
And they're in the dark. They're in the dark for some reason.
They're in the dark.
I'm like, turn on the lights.
Turn on the lights.
They're like, let's look for him. And I'm like, well, turn on the lights. But they're in the dark.
But they're in the dark.
Oh, no.
But so they're like, we got to find where the fuck this thing is.
Mm-hmm.
They're walking around, they're looking, poking and prodding at little little poles, trying to find
they're
it.
They're like, maybe it's over here in this corner, this benign little creature.
And then you see something dangling down right by Ridley.
No. Oh, no.
And she starts screaming and flailing, and she knocks it down.
Yeah, it falls on her.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. It's already dead.
It's dead.
Yay!
Oh, okay.
We get a win.
We get a win. So she's like scared and freaks out, but then they're like, oh, it's dead.
Yeah.
So then they start arguing.
Yes.
Ripley's like, blast this thing into space. Like, get this thing out of here.
Smart.
Yeah. I like that.
And Ash is like, no, we have to keep it. This is alien life form.
Yeah.
This is like, we have to figure out what this is. This is an amazing discovery and it's already dead. Dallas is the captain, so he's in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes like, Ash, whatever you... He like, lets Ash decide.
Why?
I don't know.
Because it's a boys' club.
It's a boys' club. Male hubris.
And
that's
neither does Ripley. She then goes after Dallas and is like, I don't trust Ash.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you let him do this? And he's like, well, I mean, whatever. I don't know. He doesn't really have a reason. But he's like, I don't want to think about it, essentially. He's like, this isn't my area of expertise. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just want to go home. Like, fuck this.
Yeah. At that point, they're just going about whatever. They're doing things. And then,
the Parker and Brett, the engineers, fixed their mini ship.
That's right. And they fly back up to
the
big ship.
So they go up to the main ship and they're like, all right, cool. We'll go
home
now.
They're back with the big ship. Time to go home.
And this is where they learn
Kane's
it's
going
to take them 10 more months.
10 more
to
months.
Get home.
Yes.
That's where they learn they were woken up halfway through their.
Oh, they didn't know that.
I'm glad you took notes because my memory is not great, apparently. I watched this last night.
No, it's a lot. It's hard.
Dream,
I similarly am like, after this, I'm like, I'm going to watch it and not take notes because it sort of took me out of it. But they knew it. They were interrupted, but I think they're sort of like, great, now we'll be home. And they're
didn't
like,
know the extent of
10 more months.
And they can't be put back into a deep sleep. Can they do that again?
They can.
They're upset. They decide Kane is not awake. The thing isn't on him, but he's alive. But they're like, I guess let's freeze. This is when they're like, let's freeze him.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They're like, let's just freeze him, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Then
but
he
he's awake.
Up. Then
he's
he wakes
awake.
Up.
And he doesn't really remember much. And so they're like, they're talking to him. He's fine. They do a systems check. His body is fine.
He seems like himself.
He seems
like
himself.
He's like, I had a dream where I was being smothered. And they're like, yes. But
bad
he's
news.
Like, fine.
Yeah. And so everyone's like, okay, well, let's get back into cryo sleep.
Yeah, like the alien died.
Yep.
You're cool. Like,
like nothing could go wrong.
Right. And Kane's like, I'm just really hungry. Can we eat before we sleep? And everyone's like,
Okay,
let's have a meal.
Oh no.
Oh boy.
They talk about how bad the food again, they're like back in
the mess hall,
blue collar,
eating food,
just hanging out, and they're talking about how the food is bad. They can't wait to eat the food they're gonna eat when they get home.
The two guys low on the totem want bigger bonuses for all this.
They
nonsense,
still want bonuses. Mm-hmm. One of them, Parker, sexually harasses Lambert. It's fun.
Yeah.
Because they're talking about what they're gonna eat, and he's like, I'll tell you what I would like want to eat, or so it's like very it's bad. And she's sort of like, well, yeah, that's annoying, I hate this work environment. But we're having a good time.
We're having a good time. Just everyone's laughing. Everyone's chatting.
Well, Henley, I don't know that it is.
Henley.
Kane
it
is laughing.
He's eating.
And it gets worse from there.
He starts off, he's choking. And they're sort of like, oh, Kane, you okay? Yeah. You're choking?
He flips upside down on the table.
Convulsing.
Like, so he's on his back on the table.
Big seizure.
Oh, boy.
They're
trying to pin him down. They're trying to get a fork in his mouth. And, you know, he's just like flailing around. And then suddenly blood squirts on his chest.
It's the way they do this is so, and it's gross that it's real blood. But he's wearing a white t-shirt. And you just see red start to spread from his stomach. And that's all you see at first.
It's like
just
a pop. Like, and everyone kind of moves back for a second.
And as if you've seen a movie like a gunshot and then it just like spills out from there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Also, everyone is gathered around him and helping him except for Ash, who is like in the corner watching.
Kind of smiling.
Yeah. He doesn't
he's
look
smiling.
What is Ash's deal?
We'll find out. But right now he's suspicious.
Yeah. Okay.
So everyone is kind of like lean back because of the pop in the blood, and then they start to lean forward.
Oh no.
Pop! The alien pops out of his chest.
And honestly, this is the one, like, sort of funny moment where you realize it's made in 79.
He's so cute.
He's so cute.
He's so cute.
He's really little.
He looks like a penis.
I feel like he's a little phallic looking also.
He like pops up, smiles.
He smiles. He has no eyes, but he has a little beautiful
mouth,
smile.
And he goes like,
sharp teeth?
Silver.
Sharp teeth.
Silver teeth.
Sharp silver teeth.
Sharp silver teeth.
Again, kind of cute. And then he zooms away. He just like slides straight out of the room.
Literally.
All I can think about is Spaceballs.
That's exactly what they're parodying. Yes.
Yeah, when he pops out and then he has like puts on a little like top hat.
Because he is a tap dance.
Yep.
Yeah. He is like cute.
Yeah.
And he just like zooms out like really fast.
He's
like
say shimmies. He kind of like shimmies
just, like,
across the table.
Is he like a little
snake shape-ish?
Snake shape-ish.
No,
he's, I mean, he's long and penis-like and he's got tiny little arms.
Okay, so he has
little legs and a tail.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which he
but it happens
on
very
his
quickly.
Tail.
He's
it's
probably,
very quick.
He's probably about the size of two LaCroix cans.
Yeah. He's little.
Okay, he's like this, two LaCroix cans.
He zooms out like you know those children's like car toys where you like pull it back and then it goes like boom.
That's exactly
how he slides. He's just like bye. Which is very funny.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, where did he go?
So okay, so the life cycle of this alien is born in an egg.
A facehugger is
attached
born in an
to
egg.
A face.
Yes.
Lay another egg.
Yes.
Lay your
die
baby.
Again. And then this one is now the real deal.
It needs to be like
interesting life cycle.
It is. It's incubated in an egg, and then it needs to like do its next phase inside
the
body.
Yeah.
Well, I think what
it
the
needs
indication
a, like,
is
womb to grow in type thing.
Okay, I won't spoil that part. I'll hold on a minute.
Yeah. Okay, I'm interested in what that. Yeah,
we'll come back.
So they're like, well, okay. Then they wrap Kane up. Kane's dead.
Yes.
They wrap him up and shoot him out into space. Goodbye, Kane.
Mm. Do you think that it was actually Kane who came back to life? Like that was Kane?
It seemed like him. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It wasn't the alien kind of.
No,
it was definitely Kane.
He just didn't know that he was the host of this little guy.
At some part, I can't remember. Maybe this is my head filling in the blanks. But Ash says it's a beautiful creature. He's like, it doesn't need sustenance. It attaches, it's symbiotic. He's like, this is part of its life cycle because there's the eggs,
right?
There's the face hugger, and then it goes down inside of him, and what it does is it's actually changing because
it's like your body is the cocoon.
Yes.
Yeah,
the thing that we learn later about the xenomorphs, I think, as they're called in the
Ooh,
second movie.
Okay. Spoilers.
I'm just gonna spoil the second movie. So what the deal is that once the face hugger implants the alien, when it goes down in your stomach and basically it's actually eating some of your DNA and then replicating it and mixing it with its own DNA.
Oh, that's fascinating.
So all of the aliens, so if a tree hugger attached to a different alien, like a predator alien,
It would become a different.
Or like
it would
a
look
slightly
different
version.
Yes.
Like
honestly, that's
little,
cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. So Ash is onto something here with this level of admiration, maybe.
Yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
They've got weapons now. They have little electric things
sort of
and a flashlight.
Like a little cattle prod type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now
like,
they're worried.
Yeah, well, now they're definitely worried. They're worried. Well, yeah, no, they sort of calm down. But because they know they're like, we can't stab it. It's
right.
got acid.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, we'll we'll cattle prod it, we'll like electrocute it, and then shoot it into space when we find it.
So they split into two teams of three. They each have electric prods, flashlights, and then a little box that detects movement.
Yes, a little tracker that Ash made that detects movement, but only at close range. So they like will have to be near it to
Ash.
Find it. And the two groups are Ash, Dallas, Lambert, Ripley, Brett, and Parker. Brett and Parker are the like mechanics.
Okay. Yeah. So they're exploring the ship, tight. Close, dark shots, get scary. It's like a horror movie where you're like climbing underneath the house or trying to escape from something, but you're kind of hunting something that might
be
hunting you.
The tracker makes like an interesting little noise thing.
And all the lights are off, of course.
Of course.
All the lights are off.
Don't keep the lights on.
I feel like they say something about the lights like went out.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Sure, sure,
some
sure.
They're not out on
some
purpose.
Some of the systems are going out.
Things are like a little wonky.
Okay.
So they're exploring, and you know, they enter a room. The shots are beautiful because Ridley Scott's amazing. They
enter
a room with like water dripping down, and there's chains, and it's really gorgeous. But it's also like, why is there water and chains?
Yeah, where are we at? What's happening? What is this?
Coolant system? I don't know. The fridge. It's the fridge.
Sure, why not?
Defrosting.
The chainy fridge.
Yeah. And then one of the guys finds what looks like a condom. This, I feel like, might be the shredded. Is this the shredded condom? No.
Oh, it must be. But wait, this isn't quite yet.
Oh.
We get a fun cat moment.
Oh.
Henley wanted to know about the cat moments.
Oh, yeah.
Don't skip any cat moments.
Skip the cat moments.
They corner it.
So what happens is they sense movement on the tracker.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay. And they like lean in, shine a light. It's the cat. He hisses. Runs away. And they're like, oh, Jonesy. And then Brett, they're like, Brett, go find him because we don't want the cat to set off the tracker again. We need to like put the cat away.
Yes.
So
this
Brett,
is Ripley because, again, using the logic.
She's very smart.
Very smart.
God, she's smart.
Although maybe it wasn't great to bring a cat on a ship.
What is the purpose of the cat being there?
I guess companionship. They're there for a while.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, the point of cats generally.
Yeah.
same as on Earth.
Yes. Cats in space are the same as on Earth.
Got it.
So Brett goes into this watery chain room to look for the cat, finds
the condom.
The condom.
It looks like a condom.
It's like
when a snake sheds its skin.
Oh. So it's already growing.
It has
shed its skin.
Oh no.
So this is bad because it's growing, and we don't know what it looks like anymore. We have no idea what it could be.
I'm imagining pretty scary
thing. You would be right. And you would be right. But he's still going after the cat. He's like meowing to get the cat's attention. The cat's meowing back. It's good cat stuff. So we're on
good
track
cat
with
stuff.
The cat.
And then he encounters the alien.
Oh, and this is one of the things that I love about how I said it was not a jump scare. So you like know something's gonna happen. He's alone. He's going after a little cat.
Yep.
But he like leans down and he sees the cat. The cat's really there.
Yep.
And the cat like slowly creeps out and is like, okay, he's like, come here, Jonesy, come here.
And then the cat hisses.
We see.
And backs away.
Oh, no.
Cats are hissing and backing away. Smart cat. But we see, we're on a shot now on Brett's face.
Mm-hmm.
And we see
a shadow coming behind him.
And then we see its head. And it's we're not trying to be like the aliens here. It's like
here it comes slowly and it's scarily.
And so it's kind of like a human body. It's
kind of
black,
like a human body,
skeletal, very bony.
Not cute
claws,
anymore.
Claws, not cute. And the head is like massive, very long
and like boomerangy shape.
It's like a banana, like if my head was a banana but like with the arc kind of upside down.
and covered in slime and black.
Huge teeth.
Huge. Yes. And many
teeth.
Is it the teeth that were made out of
so
condoms
quickly.
What was made out of condoms?
I think the husk. Like, because I guess it was growing. And
I think that thing
grew fast.
Really fast.
Really fast.
It's been no time at all.
Yeah.
I guess maybe a day. Probably not even.
So he looks at the black alien face to face.
Yeah, his mouth opens.
The alien's mouth opens. And another mouth comes out of that mouth with more teeth and goes.
Oh, no.
And then.
That's the last we see of him.
Gets him. And later they're like, is he definitely dead? And Rip is like, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's dead.
So no face hugger now.
No face hugger.
This is just dead.
So do you think, so he ate him, probably.
It killed him.
It killed him. I don't know that it ate him. It just killed him.
It's just killing to protect itself at this point.
Hard to say.
It would have made more sense if the little thing had killed him and then eaten him.
Right.
And then got big.
Then sized up, but it didn't.
It didn't. Yeah.
It sized up on its own.
I don't know. The sizing up is curious.
I think we're just meant to understand that these are not friendly creatures.
Yes.
Right. I think I got that now.
They like violence. They want to kill you. That's their deal. They use your body to make their own body and then they will kill you.
I feel like this is still like the scariest looking alien to this day.
It is.
Scary. Like when I imagine a scary alien, it's this one.
It's a man in this suit.
Yeah.
Like, so it's real. It is practical. It's not CGI because it's fucking 79 and it looks so good and so scary.
We've really lost something, I think. By the way, just as a side note, because we can't, no one does practical effects anymore.
Yeah. The trailer for Alien Covenant like made me mad because it like the aliens looked so
animated. They're just straight up animated.
It's like you had a good thing going in 79.
You had a good thing going in 79.
One more trivia: the slime used on the alien was KY jelly.
Okay,
this movie is very sexual.
Sexual movie.
All right.
My goodness. So they huddle back up, team one and team two. Team one, they're now down.
Down to five.
They were down to five total. Mm-hmm. They discover, they think the alien's traveling through the air shaft?
They do. So the alien's in the air shaft, which is very
good
difficult
band
to
name.
Get in.
Aliens in the air shaft.
Oh my God.
In the air shaft. That is a good band name.
Yeah. We're going to put that on our merch.
Is it just Dallas that goes into the air shaft or do they all go?
What a good question.
Because I remember the ones that go.
I think it is just Dallas.
That's the door sound. In the air shaft.
So they're trying to.
Little doors.
It is just Dallas. Yes. So okay. So they decide, they're like, we're gonna try to burn it.
Mm-hmm.
They're like every organism is scared of fire, right?
Yeah.
Like nobody wants to be near fire. They want to. It's in the air shaft. So like, let's try to force it into a zone
and burn it
using fire. Okay. They're trying to force it into where they can expel it into space.
They're gonna blow them out into the airlock.
Okay. Yeah. So. Dallas goes into the air
Dallas
duct.
Goes in there. He's got a flamethrower. Mm-hmm. The others are in the room, like monitoring the
They have like
motions
their tracker,
and,
yeah.
Okay.
And it doesn't take long.
He's
in a tight
At this
space,
point, once Brett, honestly, once the alien pops out of his stomach, we're sort of like, and here we go.
Yep. And so Dallas is going through the air shafts and he gets cornered by the alien and fire doesn't really work.
No, so. It's not scared of his fire. And
at all.
It's really cool because we're like watching, it like looks like very old, like video game, but like old time, like radar, like
right.
Boop,
boop, boop. So we see, boop, they see a dot boop. That's Dallas and they're like, oh no.
Boop, boop,
oh no.
Boop,
oh no.
Boop,
oh no. And they're like, they don't see it, but they're like, so now he's dead.
He's
okay.
Dead.
And I was surprised he was the next one to go, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
He's the captain. Right?
He's the captain. Yeah. And he seems like the only person who's kind of Ripley's friend. Like, kind of. He's not a total dick to her.
Yep.
But nope. Goodbye. He's dead.
So is this the point where Ripley goes into the communications room to talk to Mother?
She goes to talk to Mother. Again, this room. Beautiful.
Yeah.
We will show.
It's like Christmas lights. It's
it
really
is.
Pretty.
It's like warm. It's only, you know, the whole spaceship is very like cold, cool tones, like white, black. This room is like a warm golden light, like twinkly. It's beautiful.
And she goes in there. She's hitting her old keyboard. Clack, 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 clack. Loud clacking. Mm-hmm. Not quiet clacking.
Yeah, big loud typing.
And she's talking to Mother. And Mother basically gives her a message. And it's not a happy message.
It's not.
Basically, the company kind of planned all this.
The company.
What?
So imagine you were working for like a truck service, like taking stuff from the warehouse to the Walmart, back to the warehouse, back to Walmart. And then you have to stop to pick up a hitchhiker and the hitchhiker kills you. But the company who owns the truck knew
they were
this
like,
was going
to
happen.
We need to get that hitchhiker.
They wanted the hitchhiker.
Why did they
want
this?
Some experimenting from afar?
Yeah, they have some other motives beyond what
military.
They knew.
Military.
To get.
Oh, okay.
Alien. So the message essentially is the crew is expendable.
Mm-hmm.
The chief motive of this mission is to bring back alien life. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you need to keep this alien alive.
Yes.
Bring it home.
The primary goal is bring home the alien life. Crew is expendable.
Wow.
And when Ridley sees that. Ridley Scott. Yeah.
What's a name that's not my name? Ridley.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the character.
She flips out.
Yeah.
Of course.
And rightfully so. And she comes in and there's four people left. One of them is Ash, who seems to have been in the know.
Yeah. So she goes up to Ash and she's like, what the fuck?
Ash knew.
Okay,
so his motives are becoming clear.
Ash wants a promotion and will do anything for it.
He
attacks her,
beating her up.
He grabs her by the hair and rips out a chunk.
Holy shit. He starts beating the shit. He tries to choke her with a magazine. He like shoves a magazine. God. It's like really aggressive.
It was very, very violent. Like, he basically like wads up a magazine and he's trying to shove it into her mouth.
To choke her.
Oh my God.
I assumed there was going to be like, he was going to put an alien or something in his mouth, but he was like, no, just shoving.
He's just trying to.
Also, is it right before he beats her up that we see a like drip of white down
his
face?
There's a drip of white down his forehead.
Oh.
And you're like, is that milk?
They don't address it. Yeah, no. They're like, okay. Then he starts beating her up, does the magazine thing.
Yes. And then the other two crew members run in.
They see it happening.
Yes. Lambert and
Parker.
And they start beating him up. And Parker is like fighting him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ash gets the upper hand on him. And then Lambert takes a metal pipe to him, hits him as hard as she can, and his head comes off. But not completely. Because he's a robot.
He's an AI.
AI.
It's
like the Michael Fassbender.
Yeah.
Spoiler for Prometheus.
It's not like a robot like with cogs and wires and stuff. It's like organic and like fruit, like fleshy.
And white and his, milk. It bleeds like milky.
Yes.
So his head is like off, but he's still alive because he's a robot. So his head is just like detached.
Yeah.
But they didn't know.
They've incapacitated him. Decapitated / incapacitated.
Both of them. That must be shocking for everyone.
They were shocked and upset. They were shocked and upset.
Interesting.
So now I would like to point out, again, for 1979, this is very forward thinking. This is very modern. Mm. But the last three people alive right now are two women and a black guy.
Oh, wow. This is true.
This is diversity in 1979, which I don't think you got in a lot of horror movies.
Right. Yeah. Especially in horror movies, I feel like the trope is like the women die.
Yes.
The black guy dies.
Right.
Instead, we're like, we're not doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, not yet.
Yes.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Next, they're like, we need to figure out what's going on. So they wire up Ash, or what's left of him. They basically kind of like bring his mind back a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like they hook him up to little electrodes.
They like wedge his little head to the ground.
Uh-huh.
And like stick it down. It's nasty.
Yep. It's pretty gross. And they start talking to him and they're like, we want answers. And he was like, it's a beautiful creature.
Yeah. You know, this is where he gives a speech.
Yes.
Yeah,
you're right. This is where he gives a speech. He's like, it's a beautiful creature. And they're like,
and
the
imagine
alien.
Bilbo,
and he's like, it grows so fast. It doesn't need any sustenance. It basically, you know, just impregnates and expands and, lays eggs.
So they knew all along there was alien life. They knew this was what they were after.
Oh,
right.
My gosh.
You're getting the
so they
idea.
Just sent them in to be really horrifically murdered.
It just occurred to me, Prometheus is a prequel.
Yes.
So this is how the company knew. This was not the first ship.
Mm. Wow.
This is the second ship because
that's what
really
the
dark.
Was.
Charlize Theron was the first company. Mm-hmm.
Charlize
gal.
Theron.
Mm-hmm. She's so awesome.
Yeah, that was a great one.
Got a lot of cool women in this franchise.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so they are like, oh, okay, the whole mission was this. We've all died because of you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So they decide to blow up the ship.
They're going
to
blow up the ship.
They're going to go out on one of those mini ships.
Yep. They have one of the mini ships and they're like, we're just going to take, because up to this point they couldn't do it because it only took three. So they didn't want to leave anyone behind.
But they're like,
and
we can
so
do
that's
it
why
now.
That's why they were going to like go through the air shafts because there were five alive still.
Right.
And now that they're down to three, they're like, fuck it. That's all we need.
Yeah.
The ship can carry three people in the ice beds.
The freeze beds.
They like doing this because they're like, if this alien gets to Earth, things are going to be really bad.
Yeah.
Yes. And they're like, we don't know how to destroy it. We don't we're not bringing it back. It's our call now.
Yeah.
We're just going to blow up. We're going to leave it rather than get it off the ship. We're going to get off the ship.
And we're going to blow it up.
We're just going to blow it up.
Yeah.
Smart.
So they're on their way to, because they have to prep the shuttle,
mm-hmm.
and then they also have to set off the detonation.
Yes.
Because they're like, this is very kind of them. They could have just left. Mm-hmm. The three of them could have left, survived.
Yeah.
But they're like, we have to kill this thing. We're just going to blow up the whole ship. And it's essentially like a 10 times, 100 times nuclear bomb
right.
if they blow this up because of all the mineral ore.
Mm-hmm.
So Ripley goes to the shuttle and the other two go to set off
Well, bomb. Ripley goes to look for Jonesy.
Oh.
Because Ripley wants to bring Jonesy back with her because she's wonderful.
Oh my God.
Also, really should not be her priority in this moment. But yeah. I respect it.
Yeah. So she goes off. She finds the cat.
Mm-hmm.
Puts it in a box.
Puts
and
it
she's
up.
Carrying the box in one hand, which is a very large box and it's very unmanageable. In the other hand, she's got her flamethrower.
Yeah. To bring Jonesy to the little pod.
Yes.
And Parker and Lambert are gathering coolant.
They're gathering coolant
for the shuttle somehow.
Yes,
mm-hmm. they need it. Okay. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. While they're gathering coolant, mm-hmm. the alien shows up.
Oh no!
And we go very quickly from 3 to 1.
Yeah, it's just like literally the alien shows up and kills them both, and you're like, oh, okay.
Oh.
So unfortunately, Ripley hears her friends die.
She hears it. Mm-hmm.
Oh no!
And she's crying.
Oh no!
For like. She allows herself like 10 seconds, maybe.
Yeah, and then she's like,
pull it together.
Yep.
This is all you.
Gotta go.
So she drops off the cat at the ship.
Yep.
And then goes to set the detonation devices, mm-hmm. which is like old school, like turning the keys. It was a very complicated process.
It was complicated.
I guess you have to
blow up a whole big ship.
Yeah. So there's like 4 rods, and then there's keys, and then there's all these things.
Yeah, I guess you don't want to accidentally do that. You don't want to accidentally hit the blow up the ship button.
Yeah.
Like, damn it.
And so she gets it started. She's got 5 minutes.
Something like that. It's like counting down.
Yes.
The lights are all flashing in this crazy way. It looks so cool.
Oh, she's got 10 minutes and she's running back to the ship.
She goes into the room with Mother.
Right.
Has a great line. She goes, "You bitch," to Mother.
Yes.
And like destroys Mother because she's fucking. Mother's been in on it. But then she escapes.
So she gets on the ship. She's got the cat. She closes the door. She makes it. The ship takes off with like, I think, 10 seconds to spare as it's like counting down. And so she needs to get away. And so the ship is like taking off and it's like counting down 10, 9, 8.
Right.
And she's still like, the ship is so big.
She's too close.
She's too close.
Yeah. And it's going to be an enormous explosion.
Yeah. She's going to die if the ship doesn't get away fast enough.
Right.
And like by the hair of her teeth.
Mm-hmm.
By the hair of her teeth.
Is that a thing?
I think so.
I think it might
Skin of her teeth.
Oh, skin of her teeth. I'm so bad at those things.
So am I.
Teeth don't have skin or hair, so they're both the same.
Stupid.
Appropriate.
Same thing. Same thing.
So by the hair of her teeth, she gets...
So the ship gets away from the big ship and boom, it explodes. And we're talking like not one explosion, not two. I think there were 3 or 4.
Boom,
a planet exploding behind her.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
the alien is on the big ship.
The alien's
she's
on the
away,
big ship.
She's got the cat.
She's her and Jonesy.
Just the two of them.
And she's just like, I did it. She's cool as a cucumber.
She gets undressed.
She gets undressed.
Be in your underwear to get in the space pod, I guess.
Okay,
icy bed.
And to freeze yourself, you have to be close to your bed.
So she strips down and you see a lot of butt crack. And I was like, Sigourney.
A lot of butt crack.
Some of that butt crack was in the trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of butt crack.
But first, she puts Jonesy in a bed.
She puts Jonesy in a little bed.
She is her priority.
Wait, in a little freezer bed?
Yeah.
This is some bed.
Cute. Yeah, Jonesy gets put in a little pod.
She puts him in the freezer bed, closes it, and she's about to go to her thing. And now, keep in mind that this ship, it's very dark.
Very dark and small.
Ship.
This one is small.
It's mm-hmm. very small. And it's got like a lot of black tubing, lots of black tubing.
Uh-huh.
And what we realize is that one of the tubes just moved.
Oh no.
And she turns around and sees it. And now remember when I said that the alien has like kind of a black banana head?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Well, when you lay that black banana head on its side, it looks like black tubing.
Like a tube.
Oh no.
It has crawled into a crevice.
No.
And it's on the ship with her.
No.
And we see its hand reaches out. And this is the first time we've seen its hand. And it's like this gnarly, like long...
Claw.
Black
fingers are like 10 inches. And she screams but runs very quickly and hides in a closet.
Like a closet of sorts.
And it's a closet of like spacesuits.
Oh my god.
So she's watching it and she's like, what the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck?
Because
now she's
to...
on a tiny, tiny ship.
Tiny ship.
Now she has to kill it.
Yes.
There's no other
way. She's got to kill this thing. It's her versus the alien.
Yes. And so at this point, she grabs a weapon. It's some kind of
She like steps
gun.
Into a suit,
yeah,
too. As she's in the closet, she's like stepping
She's slowly stepping into the suit, putting it on.
She's a fucking badass.
Uh-huh. Puts on the space helmet. She's like securing herself, making sure it's airtight. And once it's airtight, She's got her suit on. She's got the gun. And the alien is like kind of, was it crawling out of the
crevice? Has to like get itself out of the nook that it had put itself in.
Oh, yeah, no. So it's crawling out. It's about to stand up.
It's got its freaky big mouth.
And she blows the airlock to blow it out into space.
Oh, got it.
And of course it grabs on. So it's like hanging on.
Mm-hmm.
So she shoots it with the gun.
The like cattle prod thing.
But it turns out it has a rope. So she shoots the alien, knocks it off, and the door slams shut.
Oh, but it's holding onto a rope?
It's holding onto the rope. So it's trailing behind the ship. It climbs up the rope very quickly, and it's on the ship.
Oh my God. No. So it's immune to space.
It's immune to space.
Yeah. It's not imploding and exploding at the same time from the fine for force
it.
Of space.
As Ash said, it's a beautiful creature.
It's a beautiful creature. Right.
And at this point, she's like, I mean, I don't know if she says it, but in my mind, she's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she hits the engines. And that blows it away from the ship.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's alive or dead.
Who cares? She blasts it out into space.
She blasts it out into space.
Okay, so now it's just like floating around in space and not her problem anymore.
She's away from it. Yeah.
She's away from it. And she survived. And she gets into her sleepy bed.
She sends one final message. She like sits in front of the thing and she's like, this is my name.
Yes.
This is what happened. My name's Ripley. I was in this big crew. The alien came. I'm the last one left. I'll be here.
Like, yep.
Oh,
I'm gonna freeze
myself. Can't, like, direct herself back to Earth that thing.
I think she's hoping for that, but I don't think she really knows how.
Like, yeah. She's like,
oh, right,
space
right.
officer, not a pilot.
Yeah, right. So she like explains who she is and what happened, and like puts herself in a freezer pod with the cat, and and they go to sleep,
just like hoping for the best.
Yep,
hoping for the best.
That's right, that someone will come and rescue her.
And
floating in space.
That's
wow, that was great.
It's so. Good.
How many of these movies are there? There are tons, right?
Tons.
Well, there's like three in this like first early trilogy, and then they started making more. Then we got some sweet Alien versus Predator crossover.
Right. I remember that.
Alien 1. Alien 2, she ends up going to a colony, finds more aliens. The third one, she goes to a prison planet. And the fourth one, Winona Ryder joins the cast.
Oh, I forgot about the fourth
and
one.
And then I think that's when they started doing the
then
Alien,
Prometheus, then
Predator.
Alien. Those ones are first.
This came out in 79. Aliens, the sequel, came out in 86. So they really took their time getting to that second movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it really is a very like open ended. You're sort of like, hope she's okay. I mean, she survived, but like, who knows?
That's a good way to end it. I like that ending more than it just being like, the alien's still in the ship and then they cut away. Right. Yeah. I feel like that they could easily have done
that. And it's nice because like at least in like horror movies, it's like you escape the house or you escape the small cornfield or you return to civilization. But like with this, you don't.
You don't. And she's like just alone, but except she has the cat.
Yeah. I don't know how you process that kind of trauma alone in space.
Well, she's just frozen.
She's
not processing it because she's not aware of anything.
She'll only have to process it once she gets found.
And which she does get found, and she has a hard time. Yes. Spoiler for Aliens, which I have seen very recently. She has a lot of post-traumatic stress and doesn't want to go back and see the aliens again because it was
checks
bad.
Out. I'm really glad that they did that because I feel like too often movies just pretend like
she's
the main character.
She is a mess.
She's a mess.
And rightfully so.
Yeah.
I
want to see it. It's curious now. Does Ridley Scott do
anymore? No, they're all directed by different people. I think it's James Cameron that's Aliens. Yep. There's one that's directed by the director of Amelie, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, what? That's interesting.
I think it's either three or four, obviously.
And it's like a quirky...
It really is. It's like it has like that style... I can't remember his name. Jean something.
Yeah. That makes sense. Jean-Mo Frenchman.
French director Jean... and he has like a very specific style. So Jenna, Silent Jenna and I watched all four in a row once. We marathoned it.
Nice.
And you can really tell the directing styles. It was very fun.
That is cool. Wow.
That was a roller coaster, and it's really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Really good. It's really, really good.
Makes me want to watch it again, too.
I kind of want to watch it.
Everybody, buy a big TV. Watch Alien.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Invite your friends. Don't watch it alone.
Don't watch it alone.
It really is scary. Yeah. Yep.
Rex, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having
me. Thank you.
You are an amazing guest. You really remembered the movie so well.
Yeah,
you don't have notes or anything.
Made my job easier. I was nervous.
Well, you kept me on point.
Thank you. I'm glad to know that I could help in that way.
Seriously, though.
Yeah, you guys did great. I really felt like I watched it.
Mm.
All right.
Well,
thank you.
We still haven't figured out how to end this podcast.
We never have. We never will.
Yeah, because there aren't really any scary voices in this
That's
one.
That's what I was like trying to think of an impression. No one can hear you scream.
I was going to say, remember, no one in space has ice cream.
Oh,
no one in space has ice cream. And with that, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Hi, guys. Sammy here. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch. We had such a great time with Rex talking about this fucking awesome movie. Make sure to check out Rex's book, Free Lunch. It is available on Amazon. There's a link in the episode description, so make sure to check that out. And if you like the episode, please head over to Apple Podcasts and rate and review us. We'd really appreciate it. And also make sure you subscribe so you get all the latest episodes. And follow us on social media at TSDW Podcast. We are on Instagram and Twitter and love interacting with you guys, so give us a follow. And yeah, have a great week. We'll see you next week. Bye.